And you're very welcome along to the final hour of the 9 till noon show and back, despite popular demand, it's That's Entertainment. Michael Leddy, good morning to you.
Happy New Year.
Here we are again. Guess who's back? It's Katie McGee. Hi, Katie.
Hello. Happy New Year.
You're like a bad smell. You think you've got rid of you and that? No, you're not. How are you keeping? How's life?
All good.
Christmas?
Oh, it was fab. Lovely family time. Loads of family time. Really, really nice.
So really, just family time then. Family that's all time.
That's what I'm picking up.
Yeah.
I'm getting a family time vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to go back to work because I usually...
Don't. Stay with your family.
Normally awake at like 6:30 in the morning every morning, and I'm struggling to wake up before 9 any morning nowadays.
I didn't have that. I continued to wake up throughout Christmas and New Year at
super early at the
regular time. Yeah. You know, just before the alarm clock goes off. So yeah. I feel advantaged in that regard. But I think for a lot of people, you really are starting to. You're going to start getting your mind into the zone, heading into the weekend. You know, starting back on a Monday. Mm. For me, it was good to get back in on Thursday and Friday just to get things going.
Well, the news never sleeps, Greg.
No, it doesn't. Waffle never sleeps.
Never goes away. Never goes away.
Come back and waffle. Very disappointed, Michael, to not see Dexter.
Original Sin. Have you been watching it?
I have, yeah. I've watched and the have first you been three.
I'm sort of skeptical. I'm waiting for the new Dexter series. What's Original Sin like?
It's great. But it's kind of weird.
It's got a great cast.
Yeah, it's got a great cast, but it's like, you know, obviously Dexter's not in it as such. He does the narration, which is actually really quite important because it gives it its feel. It's shot the same as the original Dexter series. It very quickly gets him settled into where he was and is and a bit more understanding of his code and all of that for people who've watched it. But they then, the bit that's a bit weird is then they start introducing characters that are younger than the original characters, right? And it's like...
So we get to see Harry as a cop,
Harry,
obviously.
But also Batista and stuff. But Batista comes in like much younger, but acting the same, and he's slim, and it's like...
He's slim.
No, but he's...
That's body shaming, isn't it, for the actor who plays...
No, it's not, because he's very comfortable in the skin.
He's rotund.
But it's just that, you know, it's like they've cast it and they're trying to... You know, it's just funny to see, but you get used to it very quickly.
Right.
But it's just kind of funny to see.
How is Sarah Michelle Gellar in it?
She's very not in it much. Just a few passing lines. She's quite, and the
she'd be a draw for me. And I presume Fanula as well.
What's the name of the Asian guy with the glasses?
He was hilarious.
Masuka.
So
they've got his character in. Have you seen any of this, Katie? No.
No, but I've been really looking forward to actually getting started on it. But I didn't realise it has already been released.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he comes in and he's doing the laugh, and some of it just feels a little bit
forced.
But then it settles in quite quickly, and I think it's more about the viewer than.
But they're obviously trying to evoke. The actors and the performances that we're familiar with.
So you have to do that. Yeah, I know, but I have not watched one of these origin shows before. Maybe you have. Do you know what I mean? I have not watched sort of prequel shows, and
like
I didn't
Bates
know what
Motel
I was expecting.
Or any of those
Bates Motel was amazing.
Yeah, it was. But it's just this is the characters are so familiar from Dexter. To see them, it's almost like other actors doing dress up.
It's hard to describe.
But that being said.
Yeah. You're sticking with it?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's really, really good. Because it's the basic premises of... The show.
Yeah.
And it quickly gets into that, right? So
it
doesn't start too far before all that shenanigans. But the only thing, the code has already been settled.
We know how Harry found him, so I presume that's pivotal of the first episode.
That storyline's being told.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's when he was only a baby. Wasn't it?
So he's working with his mother at this time. So she's undercover.
Yes.
So you're kind of getting probably an insight as to how the flashback scene.
Where it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it's really, really good. It's a fix of it. And I preferred it far more, enjoyed it far more than the...
Revival of Dexter.
Because it's very true to the original, whereas the revival is... There's a very tenuous link to the Dexter that I grew up loving.
Yeah, right? That makes sense. Although I am psyched for the new Dexter, the proper Dexter series.
Well, I think you'll really enjoy the
original.
I would actually call the original scene the proper Dexter series.
Wow.
To be honest with you, because it is. It's the
more
same.
Like Dexter.
It is, exactly. Okay. That's it. So anyway, if you've watched that at all, let us know. 086 60 25,000. Right. Katie, we'll start with you because we haven't heard from you for a while. And Carry On Netflix. It doesn't make any sense at all. But anyway,
I
suppose
it?
It's a film. Yep.
Love the Carry On films. Kenneth Williams in this one?
Watch one of them instead.
No, I was sending Caroline my picks last night, and obviously I wrote Train Egerton. That is not the name of the actor. I think it's Taron Egerton. Jason Bateman, Sophia Carson. Now,
Jason Bateman's good in it.
He's, do you know what? Really good. And I haven't seen Jason Bateman as a villain before.
What? You didn't watch Ozark?
Oh yeah, but would you call him? I don't know if he is a villain and he isn't. Like, but it's a serious role. But I wouldn't say it's necessary.
I know what you mean.
I do get the. I
he's
do
like
get
full
the
on.
Yeah, yeah.
He's dialed it up to 11.
He's a clear villain
Some of the parts where he gets tough and frustrated in those arc, you do see some of the similarities of the character, but it's fleeting, I think. So.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
Very good. Now, in fairness, it is a bit of a Pound Shop version of
Die Hard,
right?
And you can get nothing for a pound in a Pound Shop either.
And if you accept that, you'll enjoy it. You know, like, so if you're going into it thinking, oh, this is so like Die Hard, obviously you're not going to, like, it's not a serious film, you know, like, but I thought it was very enjoyable. This, for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's about Taron Egerton plays this airport security guard who's working the, what are they called? The machines?
The scanners.
Scanners. And he's basically being blackmailed to allow a dangerous substance onto
skipped
the plane.
Over quite a big plot hole and all that.
Well,
I mean, we have to presume that the sniper is so good that in this massive airport that the sniper has his sights trained.
Oh yeah, from a
car park that he just happened to pull into.
Yeah,
and she just has to stand there in the window.
I know. Right. I know, but in fairness, if you're going to accept that in Die Hard that he, you know, shoots at a plane from a runway, that then that's not that ridiculous.
I don't think you're winning anyone over by comparing it to Die Hard.
No.
Why? Well, Die Hard's a classic.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. This is nothing like Die Hard other than that it's an airport at Christmas. That is the only...
No, I disagree. I think like that's what it's trying to be. It's trying to be like a modern day Die Hard type of film.
It certainly was promoted that way. Yeah, I mean, that's what hooked me about a month and a half ago when I first heard about it. But then everybody who has seen it is disappointed with it so far, even though the ratings are great on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's still number one on
Netflix. It's a massive hit. When I talk to people, they're like, no.
Yeah.
You're saying no.
The scanning machine can see a bomb in a suitcase, right? Are you saying to me nothing else happens if the fella or woman looks at it and... Nothing else happens.
No alarms go off.
There's no...
I'm not. I don't want to give away the whole plot of the film. I'm not sitting here to give a blow by blow. Do you know?
There's a scene in it, which I probably should Google it, whereby there's two suitcases that are the same.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What's that about?
None of us were like, we were sitting there going, what happened to the other suitcase?
So there's two suitcases.
Yeah.
Is it like a bait and switch? But that's it. Nothing ever happens about that again.
Yeah. No. They just kind of leave that alone now and don't even ask any more questions about it.
It'll be dealt with in the sequel.
Yeah, okay.
Carry on up the Khyber.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just mind your own business.
The suitcase has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
What I'm picking here is
there's no Kenneth Williams. There's no nurse in a skimpy uniform. There's no double entendres.
No.
This is PC has ruined comedy.
Barbara Windsor's Bratis remains fully intact.
I'm so disappointed. It's just not what I wanted to see at all.
No. I thought it was good. I like that. There's a lot you have to ignore. Like the subpar acting and, you know, almost like the...
Well, Taron Egerton is a good actor. I mean, he's a great actor, isn't he? He was in Blackbird. Remember Blackbird? Fantastic show.
Mm.
No?
I don't know. I don't know how he fared
like
up
he spends
as
a full
lead
hour.
Role.
He spends a full hour not doing his job. Like, he's not doing even the job that he's supposed to be doing. He's not. He's wandering off. He's looking out.
If that's going to be the criteria by which we review films in 2025, is the main character doing his actual job?
Yeah.
Like, how does Grey's Anatomy hold up?
No, but because
they're always kissing and staring at each other. Why are they not saving lives?
Well, we have a basic understanding about how airport security works. Yeah. We do, I think.
Basic.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how to perform open heart surgery. But Bateman's good in it. There is some quite good scenes. It's a bit of action. It switches your brain off at the door.
Yes,
but,
indeed. Yeah.
Does
it, was
it
a good
compare
one to
Photo Booth, which was
No, it doesn't. No. It doesn't compare to any good films. It simply doesn't.
That's the line. That should be on the poster.
Yeah, it doesn't
that
compare to any good films.
On the poster.
There's one particularly good scene of a road traffic collision, which is very well shot. It kind of stands out as well as well. Where was this level of production and direction for the rest of it? But
Yeah, I mean, like, for the time of year as well, maybe, because nobody's looking to be
and
overly
also,
taxed.
I can't really talk about like.
But you will.
This is. Towards the end, were you aware that those things existed in airplanes? The
oh, nah, probably not.
No. Okay, if you've watched it, you'll know what I'm on. What are they in every plane? Where you can
don't know, not an engineer.
Contain stuff. I don't.
You're doing something with your hands. Is it like a baby changing area?
No,
is it like
it's in the hold, and it's an airproof room. That's all I'll say. It's an airproof room. I mean, I didn't know airplanes had them.
Like a safe room.
Yeah. But I just think it's ironic that a program about an airport, we still have lost luggage. this extra case is is lost.
Nobody came back to claim it.
Did you wait and see, was there a scene at the end of the credits? Maybe that's where it was explained.
Somebody writing a strongly worded email to the airline lost their suitcase.
Anyway, so that is Carry On. It is on Netflix. It's worth a watch. I think anyone who watched it will watch.
You're not convincing me.
It is, but it's just when Casey started comparing it to Die Hard.
But that's what it is.
Yeah, but the dialogue's not even clever. It's, you know.
I called it a pound shop version of
Die Hard. A good way of putting it.
I love pound shops. Yeah. That's the problem. So what would you give it out of 10?
This would be good.
Oh, for entertainment value, 7. Just for pure entertainment.
Well, that makes a mockery of the whole out of 10 score.
All right. Well, a mockery.
What do you want me to say? And I'll say that.
Well, what's your number, Greg? No, it's good to have two different numbers. What's your number?
It's 5 out of 10.
5, yeah.
I mean, it's so average. It's like, if it's average, it has to be 5, doesn't it?
Yeah. But well, in Katie's case, is that it's great fun to watch.
Maybe 6, an extra point for Bateman.
There is a scene which I thought was absolutely hilarious and the funniest scene. The trust that the police, the FBI, have in this airport security guy. Yeah. And it's like his girlfriend's like, you really have to trust him. If anyone can do it, he can. Mm. And then it's like, okay then, we'll sit and we'll just wait and see if he can save the world.
And also, I'm not sure you can get on a moving plane in the fashion that he did, but anyway, that's fine. It's not a documentary, is it?
No.
It's not,
exactly.
No, it's not Nothing to Declare.
Yeah, Nothing to Declare, which is very,
fast-paced. Well, that's the border security show, is it?
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay,
My sister got me into that.
We've figured out the identical bag thing. I believe. Okay. A caller says, Carry On film the... Is this Googled? Is that a listener? It's a listener, okay. Because Googling would be cheating. He put the stuff in the identical bag and it didn't fit in the overhead luggage. So it had to go in the hold and got the scanned bag number on it to track it when it scanned into the plane so they could find exactly what plane he was going to be on. Right, okay. That does make sense. He does try and get it into the overhead locker and then it's taken off him.
But my question was, how did he get it on the plane? Because
no, but we know why there's two bags, right?
We know why there's two bags, and we know why he tried to switch them and all that kind of thing there. But it was like, how did he get his hands on the original bag to get it on the plane?
I'm just starting to wonder, were you guys just checking your phones? Were you looking at your phones when you're watching this film?
Actually, I haven't a clue. How did he get the actual bag onto the plane? Right, because there was two bags then.
And also, how did he know there was two bags at that point? I don't think, because the bags were switched.
If only we had someone in here who'd seen the movie.
Yes, but we're actually exploiting the problems with the movie and our confusion.
Were you looking at your phone though? During
I managed 17 minutes of that crap carry on awful stuff, which was effectively 16 minutes of him looking perplexed, sitting in a chair at airport security. You know, I mean, and how he even got onto it in the first place. And we're in the company of Michael Leddy, and Katie McGee is back to look over, or she has looked over some of the stuff on the telly. And I suppose if Carry On was one of Netflix sort of flagship films for the Christmas period, then Bad Tidings may well have been Skies.
Yes.
Excellent trailer. Very curious to know if everything's in the trailer or is it a good show?
Yeah, it was one of those things where the Carry On trailer made me want to see Carry On, and people's reviews have sort of diluted that impression somewhat. Yeah, you're right about the trailer for Bad Tidings. I was really looking forward to this because it felt like a good old-fashioned kind of Christmas movie. And I have to say, when I watched it, I found that it was everything I wanted and more. It was very funny, but it was very funny in a sort of a throwback way. I mean, this could have been made in the 80s or 90s. Yeah. And it feels, and this is a good thing from the way I mean it, it feels like a long sitcom episode. Now, Lee Mack, of course, has had, it's currently the longest BBC sitcom in production, not going out. So he is a sitcom veteran of very high regard. Chris McCausland is his co-star in this. And the two guys play two characters that would and could exist in a sitcom, no bother. They're neighbours, and they have a feud going on that's a very petty feud over one guy leaving his Christmas lights up far too long late into the year, Katie. or maybe over the bin. Maybe the bin has been taken. And part of the humour comes from the fact that Chris McCausland in real life is visually impaired. Well, so the character
like
he plays...
There's like three or four jokes about that in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Does it lean too heavily on that?
It leans on it, but I don't think too heavily. I mean, okay. It does make good use of the fact that he can't see, and they use that to great advantage for very good humour. And towards the end of the film, for some decent storytelling as well. So the two guys don't get on, is the basic premise. And then they're trying to outdo each other with the Christmas lights. This leads to a catastrophe where the power for the entire estate is destroyed. And now, coming up to Christmas, like Christmas Eve, nobody in the estate has light or heat. So all the families have to leave. And the two guys are left behind. Lee Mack's family is just, his wife is just fed up with him. She can't be bothered with him anymore. So she says, go home to mother. You stay, you made this mess. So of course...
It's set up well then.
It's very well set
now,
up, yeah.
Carry On was... Die Hard was mentioned in that. Going by the trailer with Bad Tidings, I got Home Alone vibes,
yeah. It's, from what I understand of Home Alone, not having seen it... Have you ever seen it, Katie? it's two guys who are they're basically crooks descend upon the estate because they figure it's easy pickings because there's no alarms and there's no one home, they reckon. So they descend on Christmas Eve, and there's a gang of four who are comedic themselves, but of course our two guys are there and they have to team up to fight off the bad guys, and hilarity ensues. And it's not... There's nothing particularly innovative or, you know, different about it, but there's laughs consistently every few minutes. And if you're not laughing, you're definitely chuckling at the two guys, because the core idea is that they exasperate each other. They're just fed up of each other. You know, whatever. So they keep stumbling around, and bit by bit, well, it's a Christmas movie, so it all ends up fairly well, let's be honest with you.
Yeah.
If there was a Bad Tidings 2 in a couple of years, I'd be the first one to watch it. I just thoroughly enjoyed these two guys together. They're both very funny. I thought it was, and I liked the fact that it was like a throwback, that I felt like, you know, this could have been made in 1995. It wouldn't have been marketed.
I think it's
different.
Actually probably made for the audience that's there. I think that's why Mrs. Brown's does very well.
Oh, yeah,
not necessarily a big fan of it, but it feels like an old school sitcom. And maybe, like an awful lot of things in life, we got all too clever and, you know, we thought we want things in a certain way and everything has to have some deep... Maybe actually we just like situation comedy because it's so relatable.
So relatable. Yeah. And another thing about this, and this is one of the things that we talk about on this slot a lot, the fact that films are way too long. Films that don't need to be very long. Yeah. This film is 1 hour and 20 minutes, and that's exactly the right... It just has enough story.
Well edited then.
If it had been an hour and 40, if it had been an hour and 45, I would have lost interest. But 1 hour and 20 minutes, you're in, you're out. You've been laughing for most of that runtime. That's a big win for me. Like, it's a solid 8 out of 10.
It's efficient.
Big.
It's efficient,
You didn't get around to that one, Katie, no?
No, no, I haven't.
You would have loved it.
You actually, you would have asked me about this, and I do remember you mentioning it to me before about this, but I didn't get around to it. Unfortunately, but
you'll have to wait now 12 months because you can't watch it on the 3rd of January. That would be illegal.
Well, no, Katie's still on Christmas till Monday.
I'm going to take down my tree today.
Really? That's bad luck.
And it was so people say, second. But
the 6th.
But you'd watch a Christmas film anytime.
Huh?
You would.
I would.
We're on the radio. We're on the radio, dear.
Huh?
What?
I thought my confidence had grown substantially. It's been destroyed. In the last couple of months.
It's destroyed.
So, yeah, some people. I saw a couple of posts on Facebook quite remarkably this morning where others
were almost
committing bad luck to people if they took their trees down. I can't understand why anyone would do that. But
I also don't know where the bad luck comes from.
I don't know. Yeah. What the heck? Like?
Yeah, but that's what they say.
What about those of us didn't put up a tree?
I don't mind tradition, but trying to make out it's bad luck as if life isn't complicated.
I know,
it is. Yeah. My attitude was that I just couldn't have gone home from work on the 2nd of January to a Christmas tree. I just have to get in a different...
Yeah,
I can't wait for that tree over your shoulder to get gone.
I know. I think as well, the weekend just before, because I'm not back to work till Monday. So the weekend before going back to work, I would like a nice, clean house with everything put away and space.
Mm.
Space.
To kind of, you know...
That's the final frontier.
All my activities.
Being realistic, you don't want to be taking it down on Monday evening or Sunday before work.
It wouldn't happen. No way.
It has to go this weekend. All right, when are you taking your Christmas tree down? Is it bad luck? 086 60 25,000. Now, on a sadder note, as we head into the break, Rachel O'Connor from the Ballyshannon Drama Group passed away.
Yes.
And her funeral is taking place today. Obviously, this will be felt in Ballyshannon and those involved in the drama group and those outside of the wider community. But the drama community
knows each other very, very
well. And when you lose someone, everyone feels it. Sad news, especially.
Terrible.
It's always sadder at this time of year.
Tragic news. Rachel O'Connor, an incredibly talented woman, a leading light in drama in this part of the world for many years, at the absolute pinnacle of her career. Winning multiple awards for a show called Margaret and winning in All-Ireland. An incredible, a performer that I had seen on stage many times and was always blown away by her. And as in being lucky enough to be part of that drama circle, I can only attest to the incredible respect and admiration that she's always had in the community here in Donegal and wider and further afield. Tragic situation, falling ill. And we knew this was coming, that she was going to pass away. And of course, this time of year, it seems to be this time of year, always brings these things round. And being buried today, and a tragic, an absolutely, truly irreplaceable light going out in local drama.
Thinking very much on Rachel herself, her family and close friends, and also
and then the Ballyshannon and Drama Group, she had many roles within the group, as a lot of people do. So in many different ways, the effect would be felt for a long time.
Genuinely, I know from these kinds of groups and organisations, there's genuinely a family vibe there,
second to your own
family
huge.
As well. May she rest in peace, but has left behind her wonderful productions and memory and legacy. Okay.
Yeah, she will not be forgotten, ever.
We'll be back with more after we take a short break. Now, we're talking about the First Fortnight Festival. First Fortnight is a charity that challenges stigmas around mental health through arts and cultural actions. Maria Fleming is director of First Fortnight Festival and is with us now. Good morning to you, Maria. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping very well from a very bright and sunny but freezing cold Dublin.
It's got everything then, so. Every January, we have the First Fortnight Festival. So talk to us about it.
Yes, so it was started, this is our 14th festival, and it was started by two friends, legend has it, around a kitchen table in Talla. And both friends had been impacted either directly or indirectly by mental ill health. That's JP Swain and Dave Keegan. And they were both heavily involved in the arts. And as anybody who's involved in the arts believes, they believed in the healing power of the arts, but also the power of the arts to tell a message and maybe to get a message across in a way that's more approachable than a lecture or a talk. And they wanted to do something about what they perceived at the time in Ireland to be a mental health crisis. So they started a mental health arts festival. And it started off very much grassroots, a group of friends getting together with great passion and ambition. And 14 years later, it's really grown to, so that we're now almost nationwide, just like Shaw's. And we have 67 events across the country this January. And the idea is that through having theatre, music, dance, spoken word that addresses mental ill health, we normalise it as a conversation topic that people come along, enjoy a night out at the theatre, enjoy a really good gig, but also maybe have an unscripted conversation about mental ill health.
Yeah, and I like the mental ill health description, actually. I hope that's more broadly adopted because it is how I tend to try and phrase it when I can. Yes. So I think it's important we differentiate because someone talks about, oh, they're suffering with their mental health. You know what I mean? And I think yes. we put in the mental ill health there. It works well. But it's been proven over the last 14 years, and I'm sure outside of the Fortnite Festival too, that the arts is very useful, isn't it, in terms of, you know, having that conversation, the unscripted conversation that you referenced around mental health. And I think the timing as well, starting off a new year, getting on to the sort of the conversation platter, also useful.
Yeah, absolutely. Because January can be a tricky time. Some people may have had a great Christmas and a lovely time with family, but not everybody's experience of that time of year is the same. And then we're heading into shorter days, dark nights. It's cold. Maybe people's bank balance have taken a hit over the Christmas period. So we're really looking to be a cultural oasis in that time and to use that time to be there for people, to still allow opportunities to gather and collect. And like you say, there's been a lot that has happened over the last few years that shows, not just anecdotally anymore, but there's scientific proof that arts can really benefit mental health and also can be a great way of sharing a message or reaching out to people in a different way. You know, we're a social being. We like to be around other people and we're naturally drawn to the arts. We all saw that when the arts were taken away from us for a number of years, how we all craved music, theatre, cinema, books. So it's a really powerful tool and a way of bringing people together and to gently look at the topic. And I'm so grateful to the artists that work with us that share their lived experience of mental ill health, which makes it more approachable for everyone.
I mean, we're still talking about awareness. We're still talking about challenging social prejudices. We're still talking about getting rid of the stigmas. And we've been doing it really, really well for quite some time and making some inroads. I'm very keen for our next step where we actually start to achieve that and start talking about mental ill health in a different space. I don't know how we achieve that. I'm sure things like the first Fortnite Festival work in that regard. But do you get where I'm coming from? I'd love it for us to sort of take the next step now where we've achieved that, because it should be very achievable.
We've seen that, like, over the 14 years of the festival, we've seen at the start where people were very resistant and reticent to talk about anything. But I think as a result of the pandemic, social anxiety, depression, but we're still at a point where there is huge stigma and fear and shame around psychosis or, mental ill health at the more extreme end of the scale. And it is nothing to be ashamed of. And recovery is possible for everyone. So we really want to, like you say, get to a point where we're able to have a conversation about psychosis or OCD or an eating disorder in the same way we would talk about cancer or a broken leg.
Yeah, for sure. And stick it out there as well. I think another time it's very difficult over Christmas and early January is for many people, alcohol is a massive amplifier of mental ill health. And if you haven't realised that yet, it is. So that's why I think this time of year can be very tough for people as well. Right, so what's coming up in Donegal? You say now this is a national, there's events nationally. I think on Green On Theatre, Letterkenny is the epicentre of First Fortnite Festival events.
Yes, so that would be a festival hub for us in Donegal. We're delighted that we've had a very long association with various organisations and groups in Donegal from the early days of the festival, but it has really grown in the last couple of years. And one of the things that we're really proud of is to be connected to the wellness cafes in Donegal, which are dotted all over the county. So alongside some fantastic events happening in On Green On in Letterkenny, there are also events dotted around Donegal County and in particular through the wellness cafes. But we have wonderful theatre, the likes of Little Johnny with Zeitgeist Jukebox in On Green On, and the equally brilliant Peter Gowan with Declan's Got Talent. So they're two big theatre pieces. But we've also got a writing workshop for adults with Dave Duggan. We've got mindfulness for children with Valerie Bryce, and a great workshop that, with my other hat on, I'm also chair of the National Campaign for the Arts. So I'm very aware of the difficulties for artists in sustaining a career. And we're delighted to have Ulton Pringle, the fabulous playwright, giving a 2-hour workshop on how to create a sustainable career in the arts. So there's a huge variety. We like to think we have something for everything, something for everyone. And we're delighted also to partner with Mental Health Ireland with a concert in On Green On as well. Laughter is the best medicine.
Right. So there's a lot going on there in different places. So where's the, what's the URL? Where can people go to get more information, to book tickets, etc.?
Yes, firstfortnight.ie, and they'll also get information at On Green On, but firstfortnight.ie for all the events. And we're really looking forward to meeting our Donegal audiences again.
Okay, lovely to chat to you. Take care of yourself. Thanks so very much indeed.
Thanks, Greg.
Bye. Maria Fleming there, director of First Fortnight Festival. Now, a lot of people watch shows, and I think we talked a little bit about Dexter earlier on. It often comes up, but anyway, where things leave or end, maybe not exactly how we like, with, you know, loose ties, or maybe the story's not wrapped up or what have you. Or in the case of Lost, they never even bothered trying to end the story. Just says time travel. But Gavin and Stacey was back over Christmas. And I've never watched it, but I know lots of people were big, big fans and seemed really, really pleased with how this show went.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to need a bit more.
That's all I have to say. Ten out of ten.
Katie, well said. Katie, I thought that was great review. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just like in thought there.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I was always a big fan of the show, and it's definitely something that you go back and watch over and over again, the episodes, because, and each time you watch them, they're nearly as funny as the
And we
last
talked
time.
About sitcoms earlier. It is kind of an old school sitcom.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And they're layered. So, yes, you know, you layered. Find something funny, something else funny that each time you watch it. And I highly recommend, Greg, that you go back and watch it, because you will still find it funny. Really genius writing by James Corden and Ruth Jones for the whole thing, you know. And I didn't have high hopes for the finale purely because it's 17 years in the running now, and the characters, some of them are older anyway, so kind of, you know,
by 17 years?
Well, no, but some of them are older characters anyway. Okay. And so you can really see how the characters have aged. And it's kind of one of those things, like, does it age well? And that was kind of in the back of my
mind. Should you have let it alone?
Exactly. Yeah. But it they absolutely did it justice. They did wrap it all up into a nice little package. But as well as that, it was still really funny. Now, they did a special in 2019, a Christmas special, and it ended with a big cliffhanger. And it's just a shame that they waited 5 years on or whatever to come back to that cliffhanger. But I didn't really rate the Christmas special in 2019 because it in itself was a couple of years on from the original series. But this one, I have to say, the comedy of it seemed as fresh to me as it was back kind of when it started. And the characters were amazing. There was some real, like Rob Brydon's brilliant. He's so good.
He always delivers. Yeah. I think too with programmes like this, a lot of the audience would have grown up with them.
Yes, indeed. You know what I mean. Yeah. And what they did this time around, which I thought was clever, was they kind of brought in some you know, the language in it and the jokes, where they're kind of still as old school, they kind of brought in some kind of maybe more current language into it. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. like there's a line in it, I'm not giving anything away, where Nessa says, I don't like how you're speaking to me. I find it very triggering. And as it really, it's just funny because, you know, like that 17 years ago, nobody would have known.
That word didn't exist.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, for those kinds of things, it kind of, it was, I found very good. And then, you know, they still call Neil the baby and he's like 15, you know, or 16 or whatever. So, no, I really, really enjoyed it. I felt quite emotional at the end of it, which I didn't think I would, because again, I didn't kind of watch it in a good way.
That means they've written it well.
Written really well. Written really well. And even there's a new character in it who was introduced in the Christmas special in 2019. And I kind of thought, oh, well, you know, like sometimes they bring in a character that isn't in the original cast. And they don't, you know, like because they're somebody the audience isn't used to, they don't sit right. But no, this character did sit well, and she did fit in well with the whole cohesiveness of the show. So no, it was really, really well worth the watch, and they did a really, really good job.
Yeah, and you'd suggest for those who, and it's not that I've made a decision not to watch it; it's just never come across my bow. So to speak.
I do think you'll really enjoy it. I genuinely do. It's a lovely mesh of, you know, that real kind of. Mm.
James Gordon's
town.
A bit Marmite, isn't he?
Oh,
who?
Yeah.
James Gordon.
Can't stand
Marmite.
Him.
Some people can't just stand don't him, like yeah. him.
Some people don't like him because there was a lot of stuff in the press about him being rude and this and that and egotistical. But in actual fact, I do like him. I do like him. And a lot of the stuff that was in the press about him being rude and this and that and done has since been...
disproven.
Well, explained.
And he apologised an awful lot.
And that kind of thing. Okay. So, and I think people can, the press can go mad and then people kind of fall
in behind.
Everyone
is entitled to redeem themselves if need be, to rehabilitate themselves to some extent.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, Gavin and Stacey, widely available, the old series are. They always seem to be on, a little bit like Friends or Wheel of Dealers. So they're on one channel or other seemingly all the time. But a big thumbs up from a fan who is Katie, who watched the Christmas special and really, really enjoyed it. Okay, we will switch to Michael and Katie. I mean, one of you doesn't have to stop speaking if the other does start speaking, you get me? That's coming up after these. There is some uncertainty over the weekend weather as to where the snow and might fall. Met Eireann has just issued a yellow snow ice warning for Donegal. We don't know where it's going to impact worse across the country. Right, but we'll get to that in a second. We're going to give you a more detail. What did you say to me, Caroline? Yes? Oh, no, that's perfectly fine. Craven the Hunter in the cinema. Oh. Is there a bit of a lull in the cinema at the moment?
Well, I mean, Conclave is gone from the screens. No, I mean, Conclave was amazing. So, I mean, that was a fantastic film. So, I mean, and Nosferatu is in now, and I haven't seen it yet, but I mean, the reviews. So, I don't know. I think this film wasn't good.
Craven the Hunter. Never heard of it.
But it's a Marvel film.
Ah.
But it's one of those Marvel films that's not made by Marvel Studios.
Oh,
and I'm actually surprised to find that it's lingering on for another week because it has been an international bomb. The president of Sony, who came in, I think, 7-8 years ago, was giving an end-of-year statement and was just basically saying this is the worst opening they've ever had for a film. And it's actually killed their... Sony, Marvel, they've announced they're not doing any more. They've been doing movies like the Venom movies and Madam Web and, Morbius. They've been trying really hard to do Marvel films because they have the rights to some Marvel characters. So they were the screen rights. So they've been trying to get in on the whole Marvel thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Venom films are good, but the other films have all tanked and this one has tanked the most. So they've actually announced...
Why is it bad?
It's a bad film, full stop. And it's nothing to do with being a comic book nerd and being like, oh, they're getting it wrong. They are getting it wrong and they get the character wrong from the comics and they mix up a lot of things. There's four major Marvel characters in this film and they've just completely got them all wrong. They've made changes that aren't necessary and so forth.
Very violent looking.
It's a really violent film and the action sequences are good. And that was true also of Morbius. Morbius, which was a dreadful film too, also had fantastic action sequences and visual effects. So it's not lacking in the fight scenes. It does have those. Where it does lack is in the story logic and in quite a lot of the performances. Now, the main guy, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, who has been linked with James Bond, has been a potential new James Bond. Russell Crowe is in this. Although
It's
Russell Crowe. That's right.
Yeah.
It's Russell Crowe who is sort of, I love Russell Crowe, but he's sort of, he's probably instructed to ham it up a wee bit. So he hams it up a wee bit. And he is given the worst, worst dialogue. And they have the most improbable situations for these characters. Like, I'll give you an example at the start of the movie. There's two brothers. They're in their teens. He's their father. He kind of comes to them to inform them that their mother has just died. But he says, we're going on a safari because we're going on a safari anyway and it'll help you heal. And you're like, what?
Okay.
Because you must be tough and you must be hunters. But your mother just died. Mm. So it's full of ludicrous plot moments like that. It's also quite slow. That flashback with the two teenagers occupies, I'm kid you not, about 40, 45 minutes. So you get an action sequence to open the film with Aaron Taylor-Johnson doing his thing. And I'll tell you, that man can run.
Yeah.
He's a very attractive runner. He could be any film that requires a runner, that's the man to get. And I like him in other films. I like him in the first Godzilla. I like him in Avengers. I like him. He's a good actor. But not in this because of the dialogue and the structure. So then you have 45 minutes of a flashback with other actors playing the younger version of him. Then it comes forward and basically everything that happens, he's this mysterious underworld figure who tracks, hunts villains who were just like his father, drug dealers and bad guys. And he's a legend and people are like, once you're on his list, there's no way off the list. And you're like, why are they saying these cheesy things? How do they know this? How do they know you can't get off the list? Surely you can get off. There must be some. So it's got some action sequences at the beginning and at the end in the final half hour, but the story logic doesn't hold up and I didn't enjoy it and people have just not gone to see it. People were just not interested. The word was out on the street. The reviews were poor. I think looking at my notes here, 14% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics.
Well, that is critic. Yeah, that could just be trolls at that stage saying they liked it. It's so low. you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's the professional. Yeah. That's the newspapers and the various things. So again, it didn't open well. It's just not. I'm surprised. I wished when I looked at the cinema last night, I was hoping Conclave would still be in the cinema because I loved that film. That's a smart film, but it's gone from the cinema. And I didn't get a chance to see Nosferatu, which is getting rave reviews, and it looks to be terrifying. And it looks to be, I mean, every reviewer seems to say this is going to redefine vampire movies moving forward. So I can't wait to see that. But anyway, Craven and I did see, and I left very disappointed. And I feel it's just fair to warn people, unless you're really, really hardcore fan, which I am, but I wouldn't, you know. Okay.
They should have stopped making vampire films after Blade 3. But anyway, that's just my that's my opinion. Kenneth McDonough of the Donegal Weather Channel. Good morning, Kenneth.
Good morning, Greg.
Great to have you on the show. Kenneth, we just got a notification from Met Eireann of a yellow snow ice warning for Donegal, but there still seems to be some level of uncertainty as to how the cold weather at the weekend might impact us. What's your analysis telling us?
Yeah, a lot of, with the forecast models, Greg, so with the low pressure, so there's so many different weather models, and I think the headache is that some models have the low pressure at the weekend further north and some has it further south. But I think at the moment, the main risk area of the heaviest snow is kind of across the North Munster into parts of Leinster and South Connacht. There will be some potential snowfall up across the northwest and the Donegal, but it looks like it is going to escape the worst of the snowfall. But the main risk period for Donegal is really Monday and Tuesday when we're expecting kind of heavy snowfall or showers coming in off the northwest coast.
That would be more likely to see snow accumulations, Kenneth, than next week.
Early next week, and I suppose a lot of icy conditions as well. There will be a lot of icy conditions, not taking that away from that either, Greg, over the weekend, which I'm sure a lot of people would have seen this morning. There's a lot of roads that were in very poor condition.
So you're suggesting what we're seeing at the moment in terms of the Saturday-Sunday weather, it's sort of the Midlands further south more likely to get more difficult conditions, though ours we're still under a yellow weather warning, don't get me wrong. And you believe that the potential Monday, Tuesday for accumulations or at least sleet and snowfall in Donegal?
Yeah, so when the low pressure moves off to the east on Sunday, it's actually going to, the the direction of the wind and airflow is going to change back to more northerly, northwest position. So we're going to get a lot of showers moving in from, you know, the northwest coast, north coast. So when you see that happen, Donegal is normally at the risk, and there is a potential there for some heavier showers coming in that could give some good accumulations across parts of Donegal.
All right, brilliant stuff, Kenneth. Thanks for the heads up. Kenneth McDonough there. You can check out the Donegal Weather Channel for more. Right, Katie's wondering, oh, am I actually going to work on Monday? Of course you are, Katie. You have to go back. You're a big girl now.
Okay.
Stay home.
Playing on Netflix, I watched 15 minutes of this and I bailed.
Turned it off,
I jumped out with my parachute on.
Yeah, look, it's described on the synopsis on Netflix as a fun-filled thriller.
Oh,
right?
Fun.
Okay.
I was... Because I
don't. Did you have fun?
It's very violent. Now, I thought it was decent enough. You know, like there probably wasn't a lot of action in the middle part. You know, like
the aisle
in the aisle. Yeah, exactly.
So Jared Butler has been in a lot of these films.
Yeah,
I think he's in some of the Fallen films. You know, Paris Has Fallen.
Oh, yeah,
he's
that's his franchise. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, yeah.
This is completely separate, isn't it? This is.
Yeah, yeah. He plays the pilot who crash a plane into an island in the Philippines, and there is a, I don't know what you call them, a local gang or whatever, like that are kind of taken over this whole island. It's like a lawless type of island.
Okay.
And basically they have to try and get off it before they're killed. So that's what it is.
Okay. So it's called Plane, but it really should have been called Island.
Island, yeah, yeah. Plane on the Island.
Maybe. Oh, wow.
So he has to team up with a prisoner on the plane?
With a prisoner. Mike Coulter plays a prisoner. I was like, I really recognise this guy, but now I kind of look back and he was like in loads of Law and Orders and CSIs and all this kind of things. Like, that's where I know him from. So he's a prisoner who's being transported on the plane.
Screams direct to video from the 90s, like direct to video.
Yeah, yeah.
It is,
yeah.
Like, that's what it is. That's what Jared Butler does. They would have been direct to video back in the day. And that's what they are.
I don't think it was necessarily long enough, even though, like, I was like, oh God, this is very gory. And I kind of was looking at my phone for most of it because I don't like a lot of, but like, I don't like brutal violence. That's just me. Anyway, I'm a bit of a softy. But, it was all right, like, you know, the premise of it was good. It was just a bit, and again, like, the ridiculousness of like the managed, I don't know whether I should say this. Anyway, there's the scene towards the end and it's like, oh my God almighty, like, how did you achieve that? Do you know? And it's like
just pushing it a bit far.
Pushing it to levels of like, just now, come on now. Mm. Do you know? Like, maybe you could shoot a plane down from a runway,
or
maybe you could run onto a plane that's moving. Who knows? But this is like, oh my God.
That's not possible.
Yeah, you're pushing it, you're pushing
so,
my
Is it any value at all?
Yeah, I did. It's decent enough. I would give it 5 or 6 out of 10. Like, it's watchable, but like that, you kind of, first of all, you have to not really mind fairly brutal, violent scenes. And
well, for some people, it's an attraction. I mean, it's not just a question of not minding. Sometimes you just want to see a good.
Some people
good,
like that.
I think there's certain things for most people it goes too far.
Okay.
But I get where you're coming from. Yeah. Okay, so that's it. We're leaving with a 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Next time you come back on, you have to do 10s out of 10s only, because we have to leave it on the show today.
Okay.
Your podcast still available? Still, is it concluded?
Yes, the 7 episodes of the drama series Ballydesane are now finished broadcast, but they're on the Highland website. They're
Spotify,
on Spotify.
Yeah.
Spotify as well.
Brilliant.
Yeah, all 7 episodes.
New podcast.
Yes.
Enjoy it. All right, brilliant stuff. You can check out the website for that. Katie, thanks so much. It's been great to see you again.
No
delighted
problem.
You have
lovely
a great Christmas.
Back.
Love to your family. Michael Leddy, great to have you.
Pleasure.
As always, writer, blogger, and author, and drama maker, and the list is getting longer and longer and longer.
But it's for really me, good. That's so kind.
Yeah, but I've cut your mic now. But for me, Greg Hughes and the team here, have a wonderful weekend. See you Monday morning. But stay safe and stay tuned.